Good day and welcome to Gene Tools Audio Notes. The topic of this note is strategies for Morpholino splice modifications. Gene Tools makes Morpholino oligos used to modify gene expression. I'm John Moulton. This audio note will briefly review the process of RNA splicing in eukaryotes, followed by introducing the techniques for using morpholinos to modify splicing. I'll talk about the expected outcomes of targeting various positions on pre-mRNA and what sort of unexpected results sometimes occur. Using RT-PCR to assess the outcome of a splice-modifying experiment will be covered, including suggestions for initial primer locations. I'll discuss methods for eliminating a protein's activity, including skipping the exon that encodes an active protein moiety and skipping an exon to trigger a frameshift. The use of several non-overlapping morpholinos targeting the same RNA will be discussed in the contexts of dose synergy, avoiding off-target interactions, and specificity controls. I'll tell you how to have Gene Tools select a target and send you an oligo design, then wrap up by repeating this topic list as a quick review. Eukaryotic cells usually splice pre-mRNA to make mature mRNA. Segments of RNA that are removed during splicing are called introns, and segments that are spliced together to form the mature mRNA are called exons. Splicing occurs in a complex called the spliceosome. The spliceosome is directed where to make its cuts by small nuclear ribonuclear proteins, SNRPs, that bind to the pre-mRNA in intronic sequence near splice junctions, marking the positions of the splice junctions. Many genes undergo alternative splicing, which produces sequence variants of the mature mRNA, called spliceforms. Which spliceform will be produced from a given pre-mRNA is influenced by splice regulatory proteins, for example, exonic splice enhancers or intronic splice suppressors, which bind to sites on the pre-mRNA away from the splice junctions. When an intron is removed from a pre-mRNA, the 5' end of the intron, called the splice donor site, is chemically attacked by a nucleophilic adenine near the 3' end of the intron, called the acceptor site. This forms a loop in the RNA, which is cleaved and released as a structure called a splice lariat. Meanwhile, the ends of the exons that had flanked the intron are ligated together to form part of the mature mRNA sequence. Morpholino oligos can redirect splicing by several mechanisms, differing in the kind of target site chosen. All of these involve steric blocking, where the oligo gets in the way and prevents a cellular macromolecule or complex from reaching its usual binding site on pre-mRNA. A morpholino oligo can alter splicing by binding at a SNRP binding site in intronic sequence near a splice junction, denying the SNRP access to the pre-mRNA. A morpholino covering the nucleophilic adenine near a splice acceptor site can also modify splicing. A morpholino targeted to the binding site of a splice regulatory protein can influence which spliceform is produced. Usually, morpholinos are used to target SNRP binding sites. Because the nucleophilic adenine lies close to the splice acceptor junction, a morpholino targeting the splice acceptor site can often cover that nucleophilic adenine as well as the SNRP binding site, which can improve oligo activity. A multi-exon pre-mRNA has at least two splice sites. The first splice site is between exon 1 and intron 1, while for a pre-mRNA with n exons, the last splice site will be between intron n-1 and exon n. For a two-exon gene, all you have is a first and a last splice site. For genes with more exons, there will be some internal splice sites as well. For instance, a 3-exon gene will have the first splice site between exon 1 and intron 1, two internal splice sites on either side of exon 2, and a last splice site between intron 2 and exon 3. We emphasize this distinction because morpholinos generally behave differently when targeted to an internal splice site or when targeted to the first or last splice site. Targeting internal sites usually causes exon exclusion, so the exon which touches the splice site is excised from the mature mRNA. Targeting the first or last splice site usually causes intron inclusion, so that the intron that touches the splice site is included in the mature mRNA. The presence of cryptic splice sites can lead to unexpected products from splice modification. Usually, when a splice junction of an internal exon is blocked, splicing is redirected so that the exon and both of its flanking introns are removed from the mRNA. Sometimes, a weak SNRP binding site can redirect splicing to itself, leading to retention of part of the sequence that would otherwise be excised. A population of differently spliced mRNA can be produced, some with clean exon excision and some with partial exon retention or even retention of the exon in some intronic sequence. The result of a splice modification should be characterized by RT-PCR to determine what mRNA is actually produced. When selecting primers to characterize a splice modification by RT-PCR, a good start is to choose primers that will bind in the exons beside the exon you are targeting. For a 3-exon gene, in which you are targeting the internal exon with a splice-modifying morpholino, target some RT-PCR primers in exon 1 and exon 3. Set the primers back from the splice sites far enough so that if exon 2 is excluded, there will be a long enough RT-PCR product that it will stain clearly on a gel. Putting the primers about 50 bases away from the splice junctions will give you a 100-base RT-PCR product, plenty to see on the gel after staining. For an example of cryptic splice site activation and the careful RT-PCR controls that revealed it, see Bruce Draper's paper in Genesis 2001, Volume 30, Issue 3, pages 154 to 156. In some cases, blocking a single splice junction might lead to skipping multiple exons. Consider trying some RT-PCR primers farther from the exon you are targeting. For instance, if you target exon 8, you might want to try primers that anneal to exons 6 and 10. That way, if exon 8 is skipped along with exon 7 or exon 9, you would still see an RT-PCR product from the modified mRNA. A protein produced from a splice-modified mRNA might be non-functional. However, redirecting splicing might also lead to an altered form of the protein that still retains its activity. If your goal is to eliminate the protein's activity, there are several strategies you can use when selecting a target splice site that increase the chance of knocking down the protein's activity. One of these strategies is to target an exon encoding one of the protein's functional moieties. Another is to target an exon that will frameshift downstream sequence. A straightforward approach is to excise the exon that encodes the protein's active site. There are some interesting variations on this strategy, such as targeting the exon encoding a signal sequence, changing the destination of the protein. You might target the moiety anchoring a membrane protein, converting the protein to a soluble form. If a moiety is encoded by an exon that has a number of bases evenly divisible by 3, then clean excision of the exon will not frameshift downstream sequence, and so the translated protein might retain many of its original characteristics. However, if the targeted exon has a number of bases not evenly divisible by 3, downstream sequence will likely be frameshifted. If you don't know where the activity of the protein is encoded, you can often eliminate protein activity by frameshifting. If you target an exon which has a number of bases that is not evenly divisible by 3, clean excision of that exon will frameshift downstream sequence. That changes the amino acids encoded downstream of the exon that was excised, and likely brings an early stop codon in frame, triggering nonsense-mediated decay of the transcript after a single pass through a ribosome. Targeting an exon that lies as far upstream as possible maximizes the fraction of the protein coding region that is frame-shifted, decreasing the likelihood that the protein product will retain some of its activity. The cell's nonsense-mediated decay system monitors transcripts for the presence of early stop codons and causes rapid decay of transcripts that contain early stops. Sometimes, after treatment of cells or embryos with a splice-modifying frame-shifting oligo, the wild-spliced RT-PCR product will diminish or disappear on a gel, but the mass-shifted RT-PCR product will not appear or appear only faintly. This could be due to nonsense-mediated decay of the splice-modified transcript. The binding sites of splice regulatory proteins can be blocked by morpholino oligos, preventing binding of proteins such as exonic splice enhancers. This can sometimes trigger unexpected results, such as multiple exon excision, so careful RT-PCR studies using several different primer pairs should be done to confidently describe the product of blocking splice regulatory proteins. Blocking several morpholino targets on the same exon leads to several useful techniques. Blocking both an acceptor site and a donor site on one exon can lead to dose synergy, increasing the efficacy of a knockdown and allowing the use of less total morpholino per experiment when reduced doses of donor and acceptor oligos are co-injected. Not only can this decrease the rate of oligo use, it can also help avoid interactions with off-target RNAs. The higher the oligo dose, the more the oligo will interact with mispaired targets. If a morpholino causes a phenotype by interacting with a mispaired off-target RNA, this can sometimes be eliminated by using reduced-dose co-injections of oligos targeting the splice donor and splice acceptor sites of the same exon. The lower dose allowed by oligos synergy produces the phenotype from knocking down the target, while decreasing or eliminating phenotypes from off-target interactions. A good method to control for specificity is to use morpholinos targeting a splice donor and a splice acceptor of the same exon in separate experiments. If individually knocking down the donor or the acceptor leads to the same phenotype, this supports the hypothesis that the observed phenotype is caused by modifying splicing of the intended target pre-mRNA, and not by an interaction with an unintended off-target RNA. Using the free oligo design service from GeneTools, you can have us apply our software and experience to locate a good candidate binding site for a splice-modifying morpholino. You can find a form for submitting target sequence by clicking on the Ordering tab at the top of our website pages and then clicking on the free oligo design link. We'll need some splice junction sequence to design a splice-modifying morpholino. If you have it, send us 15 bases of exon and 30 bases of intron. We can try with less sequence if needed. Write the exon bases in uppercase letters and the intron bases in lowercase letters. Remember that when the design comes back, you should check the oligo's target for homology with other potential targets in your organism's transcriptome. If the oligo looks good, you can order synthesis of the sequence using our online store, accessible from the website. This audio note reviewed the process of eukaryotic splicing, followed by introducing the techniques which use morpholinos to modify splicing. I talked about the expected outcome of targeting various positions on pre-mRNA and what unexpected results sometimes occur. Using RT-PCR to assess the outcome of a splice-blocking experiment was covered, including suggestions for initial primer locations. I discussed excising exons encoding active protein moieties and triggering frame shifts. Using several non-overlapping morpholinos targeting the same RNA was discussed in the contexts of dose synergy, avoiding off-target interactions, and specificity controls. Finally, I told you how to have GeneTools select a target and send you an oligo design. This concludes this GeneTools audio note on strategies for morpholino splice modifications. For more information, visit GeneTools online at www.gene-tools.com or search the keyword morpholino on the web. Thanks for your ear, and let us know how we can help.